I know the leagues. I know the teams. I know these players. I know this wonderful game called football.
It's time for Joe O's Value Bet.
Oh, this is when the cream rises to the top. This is when things get hot.
The best plays in football action this week.
Stats, records, rankings, weather. If the goalpost is tilted just a little bit.
Value Bet with Joe O of the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
You can bet your children's, unborn children's, children on these six games.
Value Bet.
This is America's premier sports information program.
Here's Jonathan Hood.
Welcome to Value Bet right here on the Under the Hood podcast. I'm Jonathan Hood. Tell somebody. Every week we have the best in college and pro football conversation, the best advice that you can have for college and pro with Joe Ostrowski from TheAthletic.com, also the Early Odds podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, look for Early Odds. It's right there in the notes section, right here below the podcast. You can click on that link and be able to listen to the Early Odds podcast, and he joins us here for Value Bet. Hello, Joe.
Hoodie, welcome to the busiest month on the sports betting calendar. People probably don't know that. You would think December, end of the football season, getting set for the playoffs, but we're full swing NFL, college football, Major League Baseball playoffs underway. The NBA will be starting later this month. There's hockey. I heard there are five people that watch hockey. You've got a big UFC fight going on this weekend, so it's a lot of fun.
Do you have any advice for someone that wants to bet Major League Baseball playoffs? Number one, I want to ask you about betting baseball. Do you remember the first time you started betting baseball, and did you think that you were getting value versus betting college or pro football?
Betting baseball is a grind because you've got to do it most days. You got to pay attention because things change so quick. Some trends with the way some players and some teams are going, it just changes on a dime. The advice that I would give, though, is don't think I've got to get my bet in before the game starts. Because a lot of times, if you jump in after watching how a game is going, seeing how a starting pitcher is going, plus we need to see, there's some new managers in the playoffs now, like Craig Counsell. We haven't seen him manage a playoff game. We have an idea by what we saw earlier in the week. But you want to see how managers are using their bullpen. Do the starters matter as much? Because as you know, these starters go only four or five innings. So I would say if you're going to sit down and watch a game, don't feel like you have to get your bet in right away. Because if you have the heavy favorite and you're laying all that juice and you go down 1-0 in the first inning and you could have waited and gotten your team at a much better value bet, I mean, you're going to be kicking yourself. So it is a lot of fun. What I did on Monday, we had those two tiebreaker games for the first time ever with the two divisions, with the NL Central and the NL West. Mm-hmm. So I did a four-team parlay, which I rarely do. And the way Milwaukee has been going and what the Cubs offense has not been doing, I thought the first game was easy. So I parlayed Milwaukee, the under, and then, well, we got that second game. I got to bet that one, too. So I put the Dodgers in that parlay, and I had the over 7. So it's 5-0 Dodgers going into the ninth inning, Kenley Jansen on the mound. And I got lucky because Arenado and Story hit back-to-back homers, so it saved my parlay. So I ended up getting a three-teamer. But I like to bring that up because we always remember the bad beats, but sometimes we get some lucky wins, and that was a lucky win.
Yes, you should be sending thank you notes, several, to Kenley Jansen for just throwing meatball fastballs right over the middle of the plate. He felt so comfortable because he had a nice sizable lead that he didn't care. That really helped you out in a big way.
Oh, it made my day. It made my week. So I've got all this money to put all these bets down for this weekend.
All right, we'll see if you're in the money here. It seems as though that you're doing really well on college and the pros. there's so much unpredictability with the NFL. I always tell you, man, all my bets usually go toward college to build toward the NFL playoffs because I just don't trust the NFL. I don't want any bad beats. You've got way more balls than I do when it comes to betting the NFL. But it seems like college seems to be your jam lately.
Well, people want the NFL information, but it's so tough. Because I talk to people that cover this, at least the sports betting aspect of it, all the time. And I think Gil Alexander at VSiN puts it best. And he talks about how tough the NFL is. And we all cover it so much because we're so glued to it, especially Red Zone on Sundays. And we want to bet on it. We've got fantasy action going, and we love our teams and all that stuff. But he said, he says, really, the NFL's Plinko. You know the game with Bob Barker?
Right. Like,
you see it bouncing around, and it's getting near the bottom. You don't know where it's going to go. I mean, that's what happens in the NFL every single week. It for the most part, it comes down to the very last possession, whether you're going to win or lose a bet. It's just so tough to predict from week to week. That's why last week when we were talking about teasers, I brought that up. And people are still hitting at a clip of like 83%, 84% because these lines are so dead on. If you're able to move that line to your advantage one way or the other, you have a big edge. And college football seems to be a little bit more predictable.
All right, let's take a look at first the National Football League this week. Let's see what you have there. What are some of your plays that you're really interested in the NFL?
Okay, before the season started, you would think, oh, week five, Atlanta-Pittsburgh, that's going to be a great game. But we've got the Falcons sitting here at 1-3, and the Steelers at 1-2-1. It's going to be a good game because there's going to be a lot of scoring. It's a super high total of 58. And last week, we attacked the Falcons defense because of all the injuries they have. Deion Jones, their starting linebacker, both starting safeties are out. And they lost another defensive starter, Hoodie, in the game over the weekend against Cincinnati. They lost Grady Jarrett. He's their best interior defensive lineman. So now they are down four starters so far. Pittsburgh, 1-2-1. They're usually much better at home. They're also in a very desperate spot. So I find this to be an intriguing game. I mean, the Pittsburgh defense still stinks. Over the last couple of weeks, they're giving up 26 points to Flacco, 27 points to Fitzmagic. Earlier in the season, we saw Mahomes dice them up, even though he's doing that to just about everybody. But the Steelers are favored by 3. And Big Ben is at home. And we always say that Big Ben is better at home. Now, they've lost both games at home, which isn't usually the case. But they lost to, in my mind, two Super Bowl contenders, teams that could represent the AFC in Baltimore on Sunday night and Kansas City. So I'm looking at the Steelers in a desperate spot. We got the news earlier this week. It looks like Le'Veon Bell's going to be back in a couple of weeks. So maybe they think we can just get to 500 this week, hang on, get to the bye week, get Bell back for the second half of the season. And the Steelers only favored by a field goal at home. I'm going to take them against this Falcons defense. I mean, the Falcons are great offensively, but they just can't stop anybody. We saw what Andy Dalton did in the final seconds of them last week.
All right, got you down for Pittsburgh. What's your next play in the NFL?
All right, I'm going to give you a total. How about that? Because we haven't done a lot of totals.
No, we haven't.
I'm looking at Denver and the New York Jets. We saw the Broncos on Monday night, a bit of a demoralizing loss to the Chiefs. They had that game throughout. Then the kid Mahomes drives him down the field twice for two late touchdowns to take him out. So you're coming off that devastating Monday Night Football loss, and Denver's going to the East Coast. So it's a bit of a tough spot. And I don't know how much you've seen of Case Keenum. He's been awful, just awful. Nowhere near the quarterback he was in Minnesota last season. He's thrown an interception in every game. On the year, he has 3 touchdowns and 6 picks. And the Jets are actually favored, and the money is pouring in on Denver. Now, ever since that first game where Sam Darnold came onto the scene, everybody was impressed on Monday night against Detroit in front of the nation. He was an efficient quarterback rating of nearly 117. His offense has scored 12 against Miami, 17 against Cleveland, 12 against Jacksonville. And Denver, so far this year, they're about a middle-of-the-road defense, certainly not a bad defense. And not top tier, even though there is Von Miller on the other side. But when people bet totals, what does the public do? They always bet over. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing 97% of the money coming in on the under, Hoodie. So that tells me all the professionals are pouring in on this under. It's already dropped 1 point. Give me the under 42.5.
Okay, under 42.5. All right. I will ask you this very briefly. Are you afraid of the one because Denver is 0-3 against the spread? Because I see it, I saw it here as Jets as a 1-point favorite. Are you afraid of that, and that's why you're going under?
No, I'm not afraid of it. What I'm afraid of, it's just a short week for Denver. They're going to the East Coast. They're coming off a rough loss. And I've talked about that 80-20 rule with you before. When you see numbers on certain sites that track this where it says 80% of the public or higher is on one side, you probably don't want to be on that side. So that's why I'm taking a look at the under here, because I'll be honest, I don't have the sack to bet on the Jets.
Makes perfect sense. It is the Jets, by the way. So I said both, actually, as I look at the numbers, both teams combined 1-for-6 against the spread so far this season. All right, what is your third?
It's gonna be ugly game.
Your third choice in the NFL.
Bullocks, you ugly hoodie, as you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Third choice in the NFL. Let's go to Monday night. So we've got the Washington Redskins coming off the bye, going to the Superdome. People are always scared to go against the Saints in the Superdome. But here's the reality of the situation. The Saints have been good for a long time. Over the last few years, I've viewed them as a Super Bowl contender. Here's the big difference this year. Their defense is back to being horrible. They can't stop anybody so far. Now, they have that prolific offense. We understand that. And Mark Ingram is returning. But I think that's baked into the line here. So you're actually going to see less of Kamara on the field. Will that be a good thing? I don't know. I do think they're one of the best tandems, probably the best tandem running back in the league. But quietly, Washington has been pretty impressive. Yards per play on defense, they are third in the NFL behind elite defenses Baltimore and Jacksonville. Washington also coming off the bye, so they're getting extra rest, preparing for this game a little bit more than 2 weeks. In their last 17 games against the Saints, are 12-5 straight up. And the last 6 games against the Saints, they're 6-0 against the spread. And I'm getting a touchdown under the lights. So they're going to be up for this game. Give me the Redskins plus 7.
Redskins plus 7. Wow. Okay. I didn't expect that. That came out of nowhere. But you like the Redskins plus 7. Again, we're talking about a Redskins team that's going to be playing on the road in the Dome. That should be a very interesting matchup.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
All right, let's take a look at your college plays, Joe. What stands out to you as far as value bet in college?
Okay, value bet. Let's go. Okay. How about a team that we talked about in a couple of different games last week, but they're playing each other? We've got Virginia Tech against Notre Dame.
Mm.
Now, Virginia Tech is always tough at home. They've just always been that team. You don't want to travel there. They've got the number 5 rushing defense in the nation. Now, their issue so far is their passing defense. And we saw them rebound. We talked about it last week on Value Bets, that they would rebound from that Old Dominion loss, and they took down Duke handily, and that game was over early. Even though the Hokies had that embarrassing loss to Old Dominion, it happened early enough in the season. It's a non-conference loss. There's still time for them to save their season. I mean, in week one, they also beat Florida State, and then that Duke win last week, they still have a couple of decent wins under their belt. And I feel that the public is still thinking about that Old Dominion game. So there seems to be value on Virginia Tech because they are 7-point underdogs. Now, Notre Dame's 5-0. They've looked great, even better with Ian Book under center. They just knocked out Stanford. And you look at the path for the Irish. It's there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the last team that is ranked in the nation that they have to play. But they're riding high. Anytime you get a big win, prime time, against a really good team, I like to fade that team the next week. So it could be a bit of a letdown. I mean, when you're favored by a full touchdown on the road, tough place to play, I'm always going to look at the home team. So give me the Hokies plus 7.
Oh, wow. you're just, if that comes through, you are hurting Notre Dame's chances to be in that Final Four that this particular week. I'm just telling you.
I didn't say they're going to lose.
I understand that.
I said that they're not going to cover.
Oh,
if they
wow.
win, if they win, they're still in the playoff picture. See, this is going to be fun, Hood. This is going to be fun because you have probably a couple teams in the SEC. How many teams are going to go undefeated that are Power 5 teams? And if you add Notre Dame in the mix, as they're going to have a weak schedule down the stretch, it's going to be great. I mean, who knows?
Wow.
Central Florida could make another run.
You know what? It's okay. I'm just gonna let it go. It's easy. Your picks. I'm just saying. Like that sounds on the other end of this call sounds like someone that's not necessarily a believer in Ian Book yet as the quarterback for the Irish. You saw how they carved up Stanford last week. That should have been able to be a believer. But you're saying that because they're on the road, you're just gonna give Vatek that little bit of an edge because Notre Dame's on the road for this one.
These kids spend all week hearing how great they are, hearing how they're going to the playoffs.
I love it.
And now they're down to 12-1 to win the title. Before the season started, they were 40-1. So I think they're going to be brought back down to earth a little bit this week.
This is fun. All right, let me get your second pick for value bet on the college slate.
Okay, how about the team that lost to Notre Dame in South Bend? Stanford is home against Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a spot play. I mean, who was out to get the Cardinal this season? They have a run of at Oregon, where they had that miracle win, at Notre Dame on national TV in primetime. They get their tails kicked in, and now they're back home to play Utah. That's a tough stretch. And we saw this Cardinal defense give up 550 yards of Irish offense. We don't know what's happening with Bryce Love. He's got the ankle injury. Not sure if he's going to play. And then on the Utah side, they're coming off back-to-back losses. Washington State last week. Washington, which is no shame, losing by two scores to them a couple of weeks ago. Typically one of the top teams in the country. They have a great history on the road. On the road, in their last 13 games, they are 12-1 against the spread. So give me the Utes. +5. There are a lot of people that think Utah is better than Stanford, and I'm getting 5 points.
All right. The Utes as an away dog is just 1-0 because it's so early in the season. As an away team, they're 0-2 against the spread and just with a one loss as an underdog so far this season. But you got the Utes +5 in this one.
Yes, I do. This is a rough month of football for Stanford. I mean, you went to a couple pretty tough places to play in Oregon and Notre Dame, and now you go back home, and Utah's been waiting for you.
All right, what's your third choice for college football?
Oh, this is your chase game. This is your late at night
yes.
where I'm passed out already, and you're up late watching it. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch this game, but because I'll be knocked out because that's what happens with my life now. But it's your late FS1 nice, clear picture game.
Yes.
California.
That's quality right there. Yes.
Are you still allowed to say the nice, clear picture?
Yes.
Because everywhere has a nice, clear picture.
Steve Silverman, when we worked together on our College Football Saturday show, before HD came in, TBS always had a nice clear picture on one of the monitors. It was clearer than CBS, clearer than ESPN. It just kind of popped off one of the monitors, and Steve Silverman looked over and said, this TBS game, a nice clear picture. So, yes, absolutely. Give me the nice clear picture pick, please.
He said it once. And you made it sound like he said it every 5 minutes, which is a beautiful thing.
It's great. Oh, man.
You know, Khalil Tate has been getting all this love before the season and early on in the season. And over the last couple of weeks, from what I've seen, has been a bit of a disappointment. Now, I was talking with Jason Simple over at CG Technologies, and they run 8 different sports books out in Vegas. I got a few really interesting quotes from him. Going to run in my Friday Athletic column. But the Sharps jumped on this game as soon as the line came out. Arizona was favored by 2.5. And Hood, it went all the way to 0. And now it's Cal minus two. The Sharps are hammering Cal. You usually don't see one team as almost a field goal favorite, and then it completely flips to the other team. Now they're almost a field goal favorite. That's the situation we have here. I expected them to win last week. We didn't make that a pick on the show, but I think it happens this week. Cal at Arizona, Cal minus two. It's still inside a field goal, so I'll take Cal.
I like it. Yeah, it's a good chaser game when you've had a rough week at the window for college football and you just need something on the late night. Catch yourself a nice Tim Brando game at the end of the night. So, yeah, absolutely. So I'll take that. So Cal minus two. All right, tell me.
On the clear picture.
On the nice clear picture on FS1, that's for sure. Tell me how theathletic.com is going for you. We want people to go there and check out your column that you have there weekly. How's it going on theathletic.com?
It's going great. Hopefully I'll have a few nice picks for you coming out in the column on Friday. But I mentioned I was talking to Jason Symbol over at CG Technologies, and he has some great information on what happened with this Bears number. And I'll release some of it to you right now and just how this line moved. Now, they opened the Super Bowl odds for the Bears back in January before the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and they posted it at 100-1. And then before Khalil Mack happened, he was 60-1. When the Bears added Mack, they went down to 45-1, okay? And then they lost to the Packers. They brought it back down to 55-1. Right now, the Bears are 22-1 to win the Super Bowl after being 100-1 back in January.
Wow.
And he said that they received a $1,000 bet on the Bears to win the Super Bowl. This is way before Khalil Mack at 80-1.
Wow. Wow. That's really riding the wave. I wonder how that looks after Chicago plays New England.
Yeah. I mean, I see people betting this all the time. People are asking me, oh, should I bet on the Bears? Should I bet on the Bears? Not at this number.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, you're getting the least possible value right now. You just wait. Because let's be honest, they've been a fun team to watch. I think they have the characteristics of a team that could go to the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs because of the pass rush and because we saw what the potential of the offense is, even though it was against a perfect matchup. They haven't beaten anybody yet. They've beaten the Cardinals, the worst or second worst team in the NFL. They've beaten the Bucs, don't have a secondary at all. And they've beaten the Seahawks, who are no longer the Legion of Boom. They don't have a defense anymore. All they have is Russell Wilson. So, yeah, you want to see them beat some good teams before you're willing to bet at such a low number at 20-1.
All right, my friend, we'll continue to read your thoughts on theathletic.com and also the Early Odds podcast. As always, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jody.
Joe Ostrowski with us here for Value Bet right here on the Under the Hood podcast. The executive producer of the Under the Hood podcast and Value Bet is Eric Ostrowski. Can you believe that? Joe Ostrowski for Value Bet, produced by Eric Ostrowski. I haven't worked with two Williams, I haven't worked with two Smiths, but I've actually worked with two Ostrowskis. What a weird, strange business that we're in. It's something. But tell somebody, if you're listening to this podcast and listen to Value Bet every week, tell somebody we've got the best plays for college football and the best plays for the NFL right here on Value Bet every week. All right, we'll talk to you next week with another edition of Value Bet with Joe Ostrowski and Jonathan Hood right here on the UTH podcast.